This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Men's Tee Clinic off of El Dorado in Frisco. And right now, it's time for Mike Asks All the Football Questions.
All right. Before I ask my first football question, I'd love to see you out here at Men's Tee Clinic and say hello.
You know, you can get your mustache touched up.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Of the local barber company, and they got some giveaways happening there as well. They're right outside of the Men's Tee, so you can get, for November, you can get mustache trimmed up, looking all sweet, and then come into Men's Tee Clinic and boom, feeling just as good.
I will say this too, the B12 injections, I do like those. Those I feel like help me out, I'll just say personally, but I do think they help out a lot of people, you know, kind of with energy levels and stuff like that. So those are complimentary. B12 injections for all of their patients. So come in here, get your numbers checked, get on a plan, and get the complimentary B12 shot too. Only $25 today. First football question. Unfortunately, this is going to start off as Cowboys centric. Okay. My first question will be, what Dallas Cowboy player is going to get fired for this season?
The one that jumps to mind,
because if you need a time to think about it, I think here's the major issue. None of these Cowboys are threatened at all by their job. Coaching staff, yes, plenty of coaches, including the head coach, are going to get fired at the end of the year or not brought back.
Yeah.
But you tell me, start naming the players that are worried about their job after this season.
Did you say Terrence Steele?
I think Terrence Steele might be a
– yeah.
Is DeMarcus Lawrence a – eligible to not come back?
Yeah, he's a free agent. So
they will not renew his contract,
I assume.
So those two, but at this point, DeMarcus Lawrence can't really do much about it. You know, like he does no other than say he wants to come back next year, and then the Cowboys will be like, you know what, we're fine with that because that's what they do. You've been injured, it's okay.
That's for damn sure.
But yeah, Terrence Steele, I think, is one of those big options. Brandon Cooks isn't going to be back.
I think that is fair.
He can't do anything about it.
What about on the safety front? We bring in
Hooker.
Yeah.
Donovan Wilson, didn't he recently add an extension to his contract?
I think he did. I'm going to go look
that
up.
He's not an elite safety, but man, he makes some flash plays that you're excited about, but then there's some other breakdowns that you're just like, what is going on there? I think it's the lack of ability to get on the same page with their coordinators. And Mike, that's another factor is they might replace two coordinators in their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. I don't know if they keep Mike Zimmer around. I don't know. But if they do, then you got to relook at all your personnel again, because they spent almost an entire offseason looking at what a Cowboys player should look like whenever Dan Quinn and McCarthy got here. So now they're going to have to revisit that entire thing. And I know Marcus Spears said last night they need to commit to a coach that's going to build and develop and grow here. But with their approach to things, they don't have that, because their approach is you have 5 years to win this thing, and if you can't get us over the Jason Garrett hump, then you're out of here. And that's where it is, because this would be a year that should be important to say, let's reboot and develop and start growing for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying you guys are right or wrong. We won't know. I think with Zach Martin retiring at the end of the year, I think they're going to look at it and say, we're already losing one major offensive lineman.
By the way, that's a $17 million salary cap hit that comes along with that retirement.
And then I think they'll look at Terrence Steele and go, it was the offensive line coach. We still believe in him. This, I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. Maybe you're right, but I could see where they're like, we're not letting go of a starting offensive tackle. Even as bad as he's playing, I think they look at him as a starter. And then with DeMarcus Lawrence, I think they look at it and go, we only have one first-round pick. We only have one second-round pick. We only have one third-round pick. Yeah. I get, after that, the compensation picks or whatever they're called start coming in, and you have a whole bunch of crappy picks to fill out your roster. But you only have one premium pick. Your first round pick. Then your second and third are considered solid picks.
Yeah.
That only gives you three players that you're going to somewhat believe in at the end of the draft. The other five to six guys you take later in the draft are like, we hope they can play in this league. The first three rounds, you're always like, we really think that they can help us out tremendously. So I wonder if there's a way, bring all these guys back. And then just have the one draft pick in the first round who we know is going to help out immediately or believe will, and then our second and third we hope helps out immediately.
By the way, Corey, since you asked about Donovan Wilson, you can get out fairly easily after this year if you wanted to. There's a $3.3 million hit, but you can move if you want it.
I do have a question on Zach Martin. Is post-June 1 cut a factor in that?
I don't think I guess that is probably the case.
Because I saw that, like, Rodgers, they could save $9.5 million if they post-June 1st cut him, and I was like, I don't know how that all works.
Here's my argument against that, because the Cowboys, man, do they love themselves a post-June 1st cut. And look, for the record, you could ask for some money back from Zach Martin, and you could kind of change that dynamic. But realistically, let's say Zach Martin is going to retire after this year. Well, he won't announce it straight away, and the Cowboys designate him as a June 1st cut. And in that instance, then you can split up the $17 million cap hit over 2 years. But why? That's why you couldn't afford Derrick Henry this year. Because you just did that same goofy crap with Zeke when you cut him. And I know a lot of teams do that. It's just, it seems to bite the Cowboys more often than most. Take the hit now.
Is this the worst Cowboys season of your life?
It is not for me. And I thought a lot about this question. And I factored in some things that you might be like, I don't know if that counts, but I'll throw it out like this. To me, it was the triple 5-11s from Dave Campo. And I'll tell you why. Not only was the football bad, but this was like the first taste I'd really had as a Cowboys fan of like objective failure. You know, I really got into the Cowboys in 89 and 90, and I realized like 89 they were terrible, but hey, they got Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh, so like we were gonna probably find a quarterback. And then in 1990 it went down to the last game before you didn't make the playoffs, and then just the good times rolled. For me, as an older Cowboys fan, I've become much more jaded, like probably most all Cowboys fans that are 25 or older. And so I'm not as surprised, because you've seen, whether it was 2015 or whatever, you've seen some really garbage years built in as well. So I'm going to go back to the Dave Campo era as worse, but this is pretty bad.
All right. Individual single season. I'm going to go to 2015, and there are a couple other reasons for that.
Yeah.
Kevin and I were assigned to do Dave and Buster's parties that season.
And I remember that.
Whenever the Tony Romo injury happened, we were just like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get people excited about coming to this party? And it was just a turnover fest. That being said, the turnover differential for the team, they were dead last in turnover differential. They were second to last in offensive rank overall. They were they were last in defensive rank as well. So they were the worst version of themselves that we've ever seen. And for an entire season, I think this is the worst point differential.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The team has ever... Oh, no, hon, never mind. 1989 was pretty bad. One of the worst point differentials they've had. Right now, they're at minus seven, or that year they were minus 7.2. Right now, they're minus 10.6.
Oh, my gosh. And that's with that Cleveland blowout.
Yes. And last year, they were plus 11. Ooh. They were plus 11 in margin of victory. So, yes, this for me, because of how bad they are overall. And, yeah, that was another year where your quarterback gets hurt and you're turning over to a backup quarterback and nobody else around them is good enough to elevate the team either.
Man, Corey, you just led me into my third question. Once again, we're cycling together.
Let's cycle it.
What would the score have been last night if Dak was the quarterback?
I think it would have ended up 34-20 or 34-24, because when the game was over, I think we would have gotten two touchdowns that made literally no impact in the game but put some stats on the board.
I would say 17.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you get the great break that you got from Turpin with another quarterback, but you did get, like, there was a break. Cornerback doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Turpin's wide open. But I think that they probably would have gotten scored a touchdown down in the red zone there. But I also can't say that because Dak was so bad. They were so bad in the red zone before. But I will say 17. Okay. Not that much of a difference.
Did I hear right? 34-17, 34-20?
Yeah, I think I'd probably say 20. But, I mean, look.
Maybe even take one touchdown away from them, because maybe that Tyler Guyton fumble touchdown doesn't happen.
Yeah.
In that instance.
We would have found an exciting new way to make the game somewhat interesting at the very end, but still lose.
Dak throws a much more catchable
ball. I like it.
Ball than Cooper Rush does, because when he threw the perfect pick six for about a 90-yard touchdown, Cooper Rush didn't throw it catchable enough for the safety.
How did that guy drop? I know.
I feel like on Dak, that ball is caught and taken to the house every time. And it just shows how nice of a ball Dak throws. It's just nice and soft for those defenders to
catch
it.
Did he just drop it, though, because he got big eyes?
Yeah,
watch
his eyes. You can see him look to the left and where there's nothing but green. And he had already started mapping out his route to the end zone from the 5-yard line.
All right, so now a football question not involving the Cowboys. And I think we've talked about this a hair, but maybe not this direct. Is Justin Herbert finally turning into the quarterback everybody projected him to be?
No.
Okay.
But the Chargers are winning, and he's giving them a chance to win because he's playing within what Harbaugh is asking. Because, Kevin, quite honestly, I expected Justin Herbert to be in the status of many years of Mahomes. Like, that's what I expected from him, and he has not lived up to that. But he's playing much more restrained for himself and much more and cleaner. And so it's going to make it look good because he's winning. But I still had higher expectations for him after that first year. But he is, like, the whole team. Harbaugh's done a very good job at coaching him and developing him, I think, the same way he would do with any of his college quarterbacks.
I thought this last win was a big one for them because this had classic Chargering written all over it. You have a huge lead, you cough it up, and then you end up losing the game inexplicably. But that didn't happen. Like, most of that happened, but then they ended up winning the game in the first game where your defense didn't really lock it down for you. So I see Corey's point for sure, and I guess I can't say all the way yet, but I actually thought that win over Cincinnati was big because they didn't end up giving up that game like they have so many times in the past.
Gotcha.
He's still electric, though. Like, he still has some electric throws that you're like, wow. He's just being – I think he's being better at doing the things that help his team.
Do I remember, is Monday Night Football Chargers and Ravens coming up? Because I think they teased that the Harbaughs are coaching against each other, but then I was like, what game is that? Is that Thursday Night Football? Is that Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football? But I felt like last night maybe they were teasing that as the next Monday Night game, which could be really interesting because most likely those are two wild card teams. I don't think the Chargers are going to catch – the Chiefs. They could, but I don't think so.
Fair.
And at this point, I would say the Ravens have to win out to catch. And maybe they could. They're 7-4, right? I think maybe they could.
I don't think they will.
But it looks like the Steelers, off to this awesome start, are going to be that that division winner, which is going to be very interesting. My next one has to do with rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. I don't know how much you're following the Bears. Obviously, they're taking a lot of heat for decision making from their coaching staff.
Eberflus makes some terrible in-game decisions.
So when it comes to Caleb Williams, where are you at with him and his development? We talked about Jaden Daniels yesterday.
Yep.
We talked about Bo Nix.
Yep.
Is there I think the two guys vying for, if we're looking at rookie of the year through a quarterback lens.
No, I'm with you.
Caleb Williams, number one pick, went to a team that was 7-10. It looks like they're going to be like a 7-10 team again.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on Caleb Williams in the NFL?
These last 2 or 3 weeks, ever since the Hail Mary, honestly, has kind of changed my perspective, because he got off to a slow start, but then weeks 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like, you saw him incrementally better, and I thought, man, by the end of the year, I think the Bears are going to feel really stoked about this. I'm sure they still feel just fine about Caleb Williams, but that whole team feels broken after the Hail Mary.
I know. When you watch guys, like, just comparing it to Jim Harbaugh, where we just talked about the Chargers and their quarterback, and then you talk about the Bears, their quarterback and their coach, it does make you think, man, the right coach can have a huge impact in football. I think it can. We just saw it in baseball, too. That's why I'm thinking the Reds might have a really good year this upcoming year. It's amazing that you think, well, what does a coach do? You can only do so much with so much talent, but then you watch what Eberflus might be doing to his rookie quarterback, and then, like, what if Caleb Williams had Jim Harbaugh in his rookie year? What if he had Jim Harbaugh for his first 5 years of his career? What would Jim Harbaugh get out of Caleb Williams? Because to me, my opinion, all of a sudden, you see this guy Justin Herbert, who I gave up on. And I was like, fine, he has all the talent in the world. He has all the arm strength in the world. He has the body, the athleticism that you want. It's not correlating into success. And then you get Jim Harbaugh. It's like, now it's correlating into success. And you could argue he has a worse team on offense around him than he has the last few years.
And he already got a new OC, maybe a more permanent OC. He's going to get a new head coach. So you'll get that opportunity.
He's on a four-game streak without throwing an interception. He's also on a four-game streak throwing a touchdown. So, like, that's
Herbie?
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
So I have for him specifically, I think he's better than Justin Fields. I do think that. But he definitely has to get a better understanding of what he needs to do in the NFL.
Those are my questions.
What do you think? Can I ask a bonus question? What do you think about this? Because this feels like, I don't know if you would support this. Did you see there's word going around that Joey Porter Jr.'s family sold his will call tickets that they got for $400 a piece? And that his uncle said, I seen nephew play enough ball. I know what he do. Okay, Corey, do you support this?
I love that. I think that's hilarious for one.
Mike, you seem potentially less supportive of this.
So you're saying the father sold the tickets?
No, their uncle.
Their uncle got tickets from his nephew, and he went and just sold them outside the stadium and went home.
Correct.
I mean, I'd never give them tickets again.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.